Royal Credit Union Smart Checking Accounts offer no monthly fees and no minimum balance. Make the switch to a Royal Checking Account and you'll also get real-time transaction alerts, free mobile check deposits, and surcharge-free access to over 40,000 ATMs across the U.S. Enjoy financial freedom with no minimum balance and no monthly fees when you switch to Royal Smart Checking Account. Learn more and open your Royal Credit Union Smart Checking Account online at rcu.org/gochecking. Insured by NCUA.
Minnesota Wild aren't going to make the playoffs, but are we really that surprised? Kirsten and I detail our surprises from the Minnesota Wild this year, plus take a look ahead at potential Hobie Baker Award winners happening this week in St. Paul. As always, we're created by New Voice Studios, presented by SodaStick, brought to you by Livia, Jim Beam, Talk North, Royal Credit Union, and Grain Belt. This is Season 5, Episode 223. New drop alert! The Minnesota Wild celebrate and honor Marc-Andre Fleury's 1,000th game, and you can get in on the memorabilia action with an all-new exclusive SodaStick and Hockey Lodge t-shirt and hat drop. Grab your piece of history with a one-of-a-kind hat or tee that commemorates one of the greatest attendees in Wild and NHL history. Don't miss out on this fantastic collaboration between SodaStick and the Hockey Lodge.
At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition, like chanting, "Let's play hockey" prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with a bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. 40% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2021. James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
I'm Lucy Pierce, writer for NHL.com. She's Kirsten Kroll, in-house arena for your Minnesota Wild and PWHL Minnesota. Kirsten, what's going on this dreary, kind of icky, weird Monday? I had a very busy week for both you
yeah,
and I.
It is. Oh, I see the leaves are about to pop on my neighbor's tree as I'm looking outside because it's been rainy. It has been cold, but we're also going to have a solar eclipse today that we'll maybe get to see part of. You know, if I had the choice, I'd be hopping on a plane and going to like Arkansas or something to see it, just to say I was there, but I'm here.
I know. It's kind of a bummer.
I love living through major life events my phone.
That's true. It's, you know, it's kind of a bummer. Maybe
I think like a total one like this, I think is like in 300 years. No,
we will never see that. I can't remember. Cause I remember there was like a partial eclipse in 2017. Cause I was pregnant with Hudson. Right? There was something.
I barely
like,
remember what I did yesterday.
I didn't recognize the
I don't know. I read online.
Yeah.
We're supposed to see like 75% of it today. I don't know.
Mm. Even through clouds?
Maybe. I don't know. It's going to get dark.
But yeah.
You probably won't see like the sun and like the moon, but it's going to get dark.
Weird. Man. I tried to watch Oppenheimer, and similar to this conversation, I couldn't watch it because I feel stupid. I don't know math. I don't know history.
So I shouldn't
watch Oppenheimer. I don't like. It was a little challenging for me. Like, I had to take a little bit of a break. My husband, who's very into the sciences and the maths and all that, which is probably why we're good counterparts, he was like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, I feel very dumb. Other than I got to correct him on what prima donna meant, because he thought it literally meant pre-Madonna. And I was like, "What? No, no, you're dumb."
I love that.
And then
for
I felt smart again. So I love that for me too. Speaking of things that can make you feel stupid, but actually we can feel very smart, Kirsten. Minnesota Wild, again, not officially eliminated from playoffs because you still need a couple things to fall apart. They would have been officially eliminated had they lost in regulation to the Chicago Blackhawks on Sunday. They did not. Jesper Valstead gets his first NHL career shutout and his second ever NHL start. Kirsten, what does the team do moving forward here, knowing the situation they're at, knowing that they're probably not making the playoffs again, probably a 99% chance that ain't happening? So how do you approach the next couple games? And you look ahead at the week ahead, and we'll get to our predictions coming up here later on. It's Colorado, it's LA, it's Vegas, teams that are still in this hunt or still in the playoffs. It would have been a hell of a mountain to climb anyway if you needed to get those victories to position yourself. But how do you look at these next couple games and even into next week to close
up the year? This is a tough one. A lot of people have been asking, like, where do we go from here? And people, again, I'm just confused to how people are so, like, this team, like, we knew this was going to happen. We knew this was going to be the season that we were going to have, and that it was likely we were going to be a bubble team at best if we made the playoffs. So I'm just confused to where people are, like, shocked that this is kind of where we're at, given the circumstances. Granted, all of the injuries, those couldn't have been predicted. So that didn't help any sort of way. But as has been tweeted online, Russo, Joe Smith, that I saw, it's expected Velstedt will probably get another opportunity to start before the season's done. So I love that, and that is something I want to see. I even want to see him have more of an opportunity, maybe against like a Vegas or a Colorado. Colorado's not going to happen since he just started in Chicago, but maybe against a Vegas, to see him against a strong team, or in LA to see how he does. Maybe, you know, because Chicago, to be fair, tied for worst record in the league. So
very bad.
So I would like to see him get another debut, to where maybe he's playing against a harder team, to see what he's really capable of, to see what we've got in him at this point in the season, as composed. What are words?
I think you were going to say opposed and then compared, which makes sense. It's composed, but it doesn't have the same exact meaning.
Thank you for helping me out there, because the coffee has not apparently hit yet, so I can't talk. But just a stronger showing than what we saw in Dallas back then, when he said wasn't maybe ready then, ready now, want to see him play and get an opportunity against a good team. So that's first and foremost. From there, maybe just give younger guys an opportunity the rest of the way this season. Juggle some lines up. What do you have to lose at this point?
Yeah, I mean, literally nothing to lose. Save people from injury. Let Adam Beckman in the lineup again. I don't understand, to your point, you had mentioned the fans obviously are kind of like, oh no, we missed the playoffs. Like, what were you expecting? Like, go back to the beginning of the year when, especially on this podcast, we very much tempered your expectations, saying, hey, you know what? Probably a bubble team at best. Maybe they make the playoffs, maybe they don't. But I don't like the anger and animosity coming from the fan base too. Like, you got to trade Matt Boldy. You got to trade Marco Rossi.
We need to shop Marco
Rossi. What are we
Rossi?
Talking about?
Like, after the year he's had, you're going to shop him? Like, no. I don't understand, quite frankly. Like, I totally get the disappointment of not making the playoffs. We want to be there. But even if did make the playoffs right now, looking at the teams that are in the race and some of these players, especially in Western Conference, like, you look at the years like Colorado's having with Nathan MacKinnon. You think the Minnesota Wild team we have going up against a Nathan MacKinnon alone, like, take out of the equation, they also have Cale Makar and others on their squad. I'm sorry, they're a better team on paper, and when they're playing games, they're better than us this year.
Oh, God forbid you go against Dallas again. I don't want that smoke.
No, and
I mean, let's
Stars
just be honest.
Twitter admin. I don't want to see that.
Don't need roadkill Nordy in the middle of the road. I just, you know, it's fine. Sorry to bring that up. That was a sad thing. And I'm going to, you know, hey, heads up, probably going to be similar next year. It's probably not going to be a heck of a whole lot better. Just saying, it's going to probably be about the same. Final year of that dead cap space. So just let's expect lower things. Let's lower our expectations now is what I'm trying to say. You know, let's keep on the playoffs before we dive more into the Wild specifically. Are you surprised that the Pittsburgh Penguins and Washington Capitals are, like, still in this mix? Because I thought they were done. I thought they were dead. I was kind of ready for both of those squads to retire into the sunset. They're old. They're all my age. Love Sidney Crosby and what he continues to do. Even Alex Ovechkin, obviously, he's my guy. We stan TJ Oshie. But they were both very bad teams, and they are still very much in this mix for that final wild card spot.
First, is the wild card race just not as tight as it is in the Western Conference, to where there's a large,
it's,
like,
weird.
Teams just aren't as good, so
I think the joke is nobody wants that final wild card spot in the East because they don't want to face the very, very good teams of your New York Rangers. I mean, even the Islanders kind of came back out of nowhere a little bit, and they're in a spot. It just is very bizarre to me. And admittedly, I don't pay attention to the East nearly as much as I do until playoffs start, because then I can 100%. Rightfully pay attention. But I don't know. I just find it odd. I might be missing something. Let me know, you guys, in the comments if I am missing something and they actually have been good. But I thought we killed the Pittsburgh Penguins. I thought that's what happened. I thought we were like, RIP, here's their obituary for this season. It's not the same team as they've been in the year. And that's fine. They've been ruling the NHL for a decade.
Washington,
I was fine with that.
I guess I'm not totally surprised they're still in the hunt for the wild card, just because, as alluded to, I don't think the competition for that spot has been nearly as tight as it's been in the Western Conference. But Pittsburgh, staying alive does really surprise me, especially considering at the deadline where they were sitting and then they sell off part of their team. I'm surprised.
Yeah, it just, yeah, Jake Gensel. You got rid of Jake Gensel. I thought that was kind of like,
yeah, I thought that was kind of the waving the white flag for Pittsburgh. And they've still found a way.
Which I know Sid, our boy Sid, wasn't happy about. And I get that. He's a competitor. He's not going to just lay down. But they missed the playoffs last year. I thought just, you
also
know,
Pittsburgh's attendance against, for their home games has been scary. I don't know if you've seen any of the tweets. Like,
yeah.
And, you know, I was talking to one of my coworkers about this at the last game of the homestand on Saturday. We are very lucky in Minnesota that pretty much every single game is nearly a sellout game. And even when it's not, we still have higher attendance than most teams in the NHL. So when there are open seats, I look around because Saturday's game, there was a handful of empty seats, more than I'm used to seeing at a game. But even then, my coworker reminded me, he's like, yeah, this is one of the smaller crowds I guess we've had, especially for a Saturday afternoon game, but still better than most teams. But Pittsburgh, for being the organization they are and just having the fans they do, I've been surprised to see some of the pictures from them about their attendance struggles as of late.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I go back even to that St. Louis afternoon game, how normally that is a game that you expect to be absolutely packed, right? I mean, it's a Saturday afternoon, West 7th should be filled. And I think it's just fans in general are a little dismayed with the way that they've seen the Wild play. This has been a really kind of down year. I know the record doesn't quite indicate that, but at home, the Wild haven't performed their best. They've had some big old duds going back to maybe, I think, that Arizona game where they got goose egged, right? And Nick Bjugstad has a hat trick. I think that's what's interesting. And even you look at the Winnipeg game, again, as you'd mentioned, another afternoon game where I would normally expect it to just be filled. And it was, because Winnipeg fans were here, which I do love. True North, baby. I'm all for that. And that's the other thing. I've seen more and more opposing fans in St. Paul than even normal, I think, which is always kind of intriguing to me from, you know, St. Louis, obviously Nick Leddy. There's always the Minnesota connection, but just definitely interesting. Sticking with the Minnesota Wild for a minute here, guys. You mentioned Marco Rossi, Kirsten, and I will admit I've pulled the receipts numerous times, but I still have people coming for me for it. Yes, I suggested trading Marco last year. I didn't do it because I was thinking he was a bust. I said very clearly heading into the season, it was a make or break year. If he did not perform well this year, yes, I would have officially said bust. He didn't. He boomed. We love to see that. And the only reason I had suggested a trade of Marco Rossi last year is because you should have moved him while you still had value if the organization didn't believe in him, because that's kind of the way it was trending. It didn't feel like Bill Guerin and those guys had belief in Marco. And, you know, true to form, he stuck it out. This offseason was his best offseason. He put on the weight. He stayed in Minnesota, trained with the guys that he needed to, and he is absolutely booming. He is the Masterton nominee for Minnesota for his perseverance, and you love to see it. It's funny to think about, Kirsten, if Brock Faber was not on this team, would Marco Rossi be that guy that we are all behind for Calder? Because let's take a look at the stats here. He is just trailing Connor Bedard by one goal for most by a rookie. He's got 22 on the season. He is in the top three or four for points along with Brock Faber. And frankly, Marco Rossi would have probably surpassed Connor Bedard's goal scoring if there weren't so many that were recalled or so many that end up going off the post. The kid has been snake bitten as well. And we joked with him even post game the other day, like, you should have Hartsy buy you dinner, because there's been a couple offsides where the goals are recalled for him. But I mean, do you think Marco Rossi would have more national attention and conversation if Brock Faber wasn't in the picture? Because he is, I don't want to say quietly, because I think here in Minnesota we recognize it, but it does feel he is quietly having a very successful
and
rookie year.
Even earlier in the season, the conversation was flipped where Brock Faber was barely in consideration. I remember Russo tweeted something from kind of where things stood in the Calder race or Calder conversation a few months back. Brock Faber was like in the red, like not even in top 10, like out of consideration, like really in the race. Marco Rossi at the time was still in it, and Marco Rossi was getting a lot more talk, but everyone was like, why are we counting out Brock Faber? But the conversation is just completely flipped now. The Calder race is truly between two people, and it's Connor Bedard and Brock Faber. But Marco Rossi, I think Wild fans would really be pulling for him if Brock Faber didn't have to step up and have the season that he's having this year. But Rossi definitely still in the conversation, just we kind of just know he's a little bit more out of the race at this point.
And seeing what he's been able to do this year, I think that's why it'd be asinine to trade him, because you're not going to get what you need back. You still have to deal excuse me, with the dead cap next year. So you can't pay for anybody's salary.
He's still on the upward trajectory at this point. I think we're just seeing glimpses of what Marco Rossi can do. I think if he continues to build at this pace, which he should into next season, I think we could have a very, very promising player on our hands.
Yeah, it's exciting to watch. I mean, again, looking ahead, I know you had mentioned earlier playing some of those young guys, and I would like to see that as well. I'd like to see maybe a recall of Damon Hunt and Carson Lambos. Now, I know it's been widely reported that the organization has been very disappointed in the blue line down in Iowa. But again, Iowa's not even the Iowa team that they should be. It's just they're kind of a hot mess. But I think if you're going to recall players and give anybody a shot, those would be some of the guys I'd look at. Maybe take another peek at Sammy Walker once more. Liam Ogren's going to stay down there until next year. We'll see what happens with him coming out of camp. I don't anticipate him taking a roster spot, but I could be wrong. Be very exciting. But the future is bright. I know it sounds so like silver lining and it's okay, but it is. Like, I am very excited because even seeing Murat Huznadinov come in and be kind of the impact player, very minorly, right? It's still very kind of, again, not quiet is the word, but it's not, you know, it's not splashing, but he's looking fine. Like, I'm excited to see what he could do with a full season under his belt. I'm looking more and more optimistic toward the future. We've talked about it a bunch, Kirsten, and I will end it with this. Brock Faber should win the Calder because he's a defenseman, because I think defensemen are put in a much harder spot, especially as a rookie defenseman. Brock Faber should win the Calder because he's played in every single game, one of just two players, along with Marco Rossi, who has not missed a game yet during the full season, which, considering all the injuries for Minnesota, let's knock on wood, because that has been a huge thing. Brock Faber should win the Calder because of the minutes that he's played and the opposition he's gone up against. Brock Faber should win the Calder because he has glasses. And you know what? We love that.
We do love his glasses. Brock Faber for Calder. I'm going to shout it from the rooftops. Also, I just want to point this out, and this is my personal vendetta, mainly because I do hold defensemen to a higher standard and just and more appreciative of them and their skill set. But also, I'm saying this to be said because for what I'm about to say, it definitely matters for defensemen. People that say that plus minus isn't a statistic to look at, you're totally wrong. And it makes me mad that you think plus minus doesn't matter. As of yesterday, heading into that game, Brock Faber, I mean, as a defenseman, was plus one on the season. That's pretty freaking great.
And again, being the defenseman going up against the Connor McDavids, the Nathan McKinnons, I mean, he's been absolutely electric. I don't know how you deny that. Yes, Chicago sucks. And yes, the minus 63 or whatever. I don't think it's quite that dramatic, but it's at least a minus 39 for Connor Bedard, right?
Which is not great. As an offensive player, you need to learn how to play a little bit of defense. You want to complain about the defense. You want to complain when you're getting goals scored against you. You're going to blame it on the goaltending. No, you need to look at the game in front of your goalie and see what's going on. Plus minus matters.
Mm-hmm. Plus minus matters. Let's get the protest going. Plus minus matters. Petition. One more thing on the Minnesota Wild. Kirill Kaprizov hits 40 goals for his third season. Yes, another record, another thing that Minnesota Wild players have not done before number 97 came to town. And Kirsten, I think both you and I were questioning how far he was going to get because he did have that early season struggle. And I went back and looked at his stats. And it's funny because I think all of us collectively, whether it was media, whether it was fans, I think even some coaches, we looked at it and we were like, oh, Kirill's having an off year, and you know, he had 5 points in his first two games. I mean, he was getting more assists than shots. He really didn't have it wasn't bad by any stretch. I think we could all tell that he wasn't cycling the way he does, right? It was his skating. It was kind of some of the tendencies that you were used to seeing Kirill. In addition to scoring, he is a guy that you look to score, and he knows that. But for him to get 40 points, are you surprised by that? He's probably going to get 50, right? I mean, in the next handful of games, it's very feasible. He's gotten 2 goals per game in the past couple here. I think 50 is a very attainable thing. But are you surprised that he reached the 40-goal mark given where
First,
he was at earlier
let's
this
let
year?
Kirill cook. Let's let him break his own record that he's set. 47 goals, I think, is where it sits, most goals in a regular season for the Minnesota Wild in history. Let's have him break that. Let's have him get more than that. Break his own record. I am a little surprised just because it took him a while to get going earlier this season. Earlier this year is like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be more of like a retraction than what we've seen from him, because he has continued to set the bar high each year for himself. But I was worried at the start of the year, but now looking back, it seems kind of silly to have been worried considering the numbers he's put up, the goals that he's put up. I believe when I was looking at the graphic during the Wild game yesterday, it was out of five, Kirill Kaprizov has three of the years with most goals in Wild history. So the other one, Gavrik, I think there was one other person up there too that I forget, but just impressive.
Or even, I think, in the past few months, I saw another stat where it was like, of the 93 goals Minnesota has scored in the past couple months, Kirill accounts for like 23% of them, right? I mean, and that's a problem that needs to be addressed as a secondary scoring moving forward. John Hines had mentioned it the other night against Winnipeg, like, you can't have passengers. You need every line to be going, and you just don't have that. You don't get that most nights. If Kirill's line is not going, nobody's scoring, and it's just kind of frustrating. So that's something that definitely needs to be addressed before the season ends, but obviously heading into next year. Before we take a break and get to some college hockey breakdown, Kirsten, the Wild week ahead. They are on a four-game road trip at Colorado on Tuesday, Vegas on Friday, San Jose Saturday, the Kings on Monday, and then they have their final season or game of the regular season next Thursday in Minnesota. How are they looking for those five games?
I'm sorry to disappoint you people. They're not going to win against Colorado. Nathan MacKinnon right now is just too good. Like, even when Colorado was in Minnesota this past week, Minnesota didn't play bad, but you had Nathan MacKinnon on the ice. No. What were you going to do? So we're not going to win against Colorado. We're probably not going to beat Vegas either. But we will beat San Jose.
But
I don't think we're going to beat LA either. And we'll beat Seattle in that final game. We got two.
I'm exactly the same.
You try to be different than me in a dozen ways.
I'm just not putting much stock. You know what? It doesn't. Actually, sometimes. You know, sometimes it works. Sometimes it brings some good mojo. I don't know. I'm exactly the same. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, college hockey. Stay tuned.
Hey, guys. Jesse Pierce here for Livia Weight Control Centers. Who is ready to spring into the warm weather? It's been beautiful outside. I know I've been enjoying it. Hopefully you have too, and it's only going to get better. Spring ready the Livia way and lose up to 10 pounds in your first 2 weeks. When you join Livia, you'll receive a personalized and doctor recommended program tailored to your unique goals and lifestyle. Livia's amazing team of registered dietitians and nutritionists will guide you every step of the way, providing you with the tools, support, and motivation that you need to succeed. If you join Livia today, you can get 3 months absolutely free. I've started my journey a couple months ago and I have loved it. And you know what? There's a new option that you can also include with your nutritional program, and that's Livia Medical. I've been on Livia Medical for the past 2 weeks to help me break down those biological barriers that can make losing weight so hard. It's helped accelerate my weight loss. I have lost 4 pounds in just 2 weeks with the added Livia Medical to my nutritional program. It works for me. It certainly can work for you. Don't forget to get Livia a call at 855-GO-LIVIA or visit Livia.com. Again, first 3 months, absolutely free. Let them know Jesse Pierce and the Bar Down Beauty sent you.
College hockey, because Frozen Four in St. Paul. So yes, there is playoff hockey, championship hockey happening here in the state of hockey. Kirsten, you're a member of the Hobie Baker Committee. Obviously, that'll be awarded Friday night here on the off day between games. They've got first round of action on Thursday, championship game on Saturday, media availability and practices, all that on Wednesday. You and I will be working it, but run down the teams for me real quick, as you know them, and then your Hobie hat trick finalist, and who's your bid for the Hobie Baker winner for this year?
The matchups that we got on hand, or the teams that we have, we got Denver, we got Boston University, we got Michigan. Boston College is in there too, right? Am I blanking? Yep, Boston College.
No, BC.
It's going to be Boston College and Denver facing off, then Michigan and Boston University. Michigan and Boston University is a game I am very interested to see happen. Michigan, I personally did not expect them to make their way back into the Frozen Four again for a second straight year. I thought maybe they would rescind on their season that they had, just considering where things were standing as we headed into the postseason, or the NCAA tournament, I should say. And also when you,
and they beat,
they did, yes,
Michigan State, team, correct?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Big Ten champions this year, which also surprised me a little bit too, Michigan State kind of coming out of the woodwork this year. But they're going against a really good Boston University team that has Macklin Celebrini. So, and it has Lane Hutson, a very strong defenseman as well. There's a number of other talent on that squad too. Yes. So if I had to pick BC, quite honestly, I expect Boston University to pull out of that into the championship game. Now you look at the other matchup, Boston College, Denver. David Carl, I'm going to sing his praises from the rooftops, head coach of Denver. He needs to be looked at for an NHL job. He really does. The way he has really turned that program and made it into what it is now, just singing his praises. That being said, they're going to face off against another very good Boston College team. You got Will Smith on Boston College. Cutter Gauthier. Did I say his name right?
Patrick Fine. Gauthier. I always think it's Gauthier. Gauthier. I don't know. But that's maybe
I
just because. Gauthier. Gauthier.
We know
G-A-U-T-T-I-E-R, right?
Cutter.
Cutter's a good
that
name.
That one is going to be a really good game to see. However, I think Boston College is going to pull it out. I mean, when you have Will Smith putting up the numbers, just ridiculous numbers as he has this season, I believe, I'm not even going to say because I don't even fully know off the top of my head. But anyways, just having Will Smith, outrageous stats this season. You got a strong Boston College team too. It's going to be the Bostons facing off in the national championship game. As far as who's going to win it, I have no idea. I'm kind of leaning a little more towards Boston University. So that's my Frozen Four prediction. And then Friday, we've got the Hobie Baker ceremony. It's at River Center. Feel free to come out. It's open to the public. Snag your ticket. The hat trick finalists, Jackson Blake, North Dakota. Unreal season as a sophomore, tying Zach Parise's record, putting up numbers we haven't seen since Brock Besser when he was at North Dakota. Then, as mentioned, we've got Cutter Gauthier. We've got Macklin Celebrini. It's going to be a really good race, or can I even call it a race for Hobie Baker? It's a really, really good group. There was a lot of really great top 10 finalists. But if I had to guess, I would say Macklin Celebrini will be coming away with the Hobie Baker. Again, as a member of the Hobie Baker committee, I'm not on the selection committee. I do not know who the winner is. I did not have any dogs in there in the voting process, but that's just my guess.
I did not know Jackson Blake is Rob Blake's kid.
Oh yeah.
Rob Blake's a little old for you. You don't know that name, do you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very prominent. I just realized that. I'm like, oh yeah, he's very prominent. I think he's with the Kings organization now. Good NHL player, had a hell of a career, but I did not put two and two together, which also makes me very old, because if he has a college kid, that means Rob Blake's a little bit older. Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be Macklin, right? There's just been too much hype. It would be surprising if it weren't. And, you know, I think from my NHL standpoint, which is the entity I'm covering for, I kind of need that, because that would just be the easiest one to do, right? The first overall wins the blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know.
I mean,
it's all about me.
It's a good story.
It's boring, but it's
a tight race, though. Like, all yeah. three are strong candidates. Jackson Blake, too. I just very impressed by him this season alone. So you really can't count anyone out. But yeah, I mean, I agree. I think if I had to guess, again, it is a guess. I am not on the Hobie Baker selection committee. I do not know the winner yet.
Don't come for Kristen who wins or who's selected.
Exactly. But I would say if I had to guess, I would probably think Macklin has the edge. Slight edge, because like I said, it's a good competition this year. Not that That's it wasn't last year, but this year it's really tight.
I just want some good games, good competition. Let's go have some fun out there. College hockey is the best. I'm excited for it to descend upon St. Paul. Again, my second time covering it here in the Twin Cities. A whole bunch of fun events going up and down West 7th as well. So come check it out. College hockey, it doesn't get much better than that. So very exciting. That's going to do it for this week, I think, Kirsten. I think, again, we've got a very busy week, but we will be hopping on, follow our social medias. As always, shout out to each and every one of you. Engage, like, subscribe, rate. You guys have been crushing it for downloads and listens and engagement lately. So thank you guys so, so much. I know it's been a long season. It gets a little exhausting repeating ourselves each week. So we're always trying to bring new, fresh content. We'll continue to do that throughout the off season as well. But until then, go wild. Shout out to Talk North, Greenbelt, Livia, Royal Credit Union, and Jim Beam. And of course, our friends over at SodaStick. Near, 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 near.